Good morning, Potter's Four Square Church. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my home office. And we are in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. And we are doing these sermons podcast version due to the fact that we probably still have people that are not comfortable being in church because of COVID and the latest variant. And so we decided that once again, we would put the sermons online in a podcast form. And I want to emphasize that this is the same sermon, but it's not a live, obviously a live recording from Sunday. So if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 26, verse 31 through 35. And we're going to be talking about Peter's denial and how Jesus predicted the fact that this was going to happen. So the story of Peter's denial is found in all the Gospels. Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and John 18. And it's a significant story, obviously. You have to ask yourself, you know, why would this happen? Why would the presumed chief cornerstone of the church, right, would get caught up in denying Jesus? And here's the thing that's you know, just blows you away. In terms of sin that we read about in the scripture, obviously, when we think about godly men who sin, David comes to mind with Bathsheba and what he did when killing Uriah and covering the whole thing up. The reason why this is so different, Peter's denial is so different, is, you know, David was never told by the Lord that this was going to happen. God never pulled him aside and said, you know, I know you want to be faithful to me, but you're not, because you're going to see this woman taking a shower and you're going to commit adultery with her, and then you're going to cover it up and kill her husband. And, you know, and then David went out and did it. That's not what happened. David did all those things, terrible as they are. He did them all of it on his own accord, and it wasn't prophesied that that was going to happen. But this particular instance is where Jesus says, look, you're going to do these things. Right, it's gonna happen, and there are two reasons why we see Peter failing here. And my attempt this morning is to explain to you why those two reasons exist and what they are. First of all, the first one is weakness, and the second one is fear. I think all of us are familiar with, you know, the guilt we experience when we break the promises of the Lord, and we've all failed at this at some point in our walk. There's no question. And people who have a healthy and consistent walk have one thing in common: they understand how weak they are, right? Knowing our weakness can be our greatest strength. I know that, you know, it's probably a little hard to wrap our minds around that, because, you know, we want to be so strong and we want to be righteous and we want our standing in the Lord to be good. And just remember, he promises that in our weakness, his strength is made perfective, and we can be strong in the Lord and weak in our own strength at the same time. And it's whether or not we know that. It's whether or not we understand that. And I think for the most part, we need to be reminded that as strong as we think we are, we have all the makings of failure at any given time, right? So our text this morning is Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 35. And I'll be reading out of the NIV version. It says, then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. And Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same thing. Father God, I bless you into your word this morning as we study. Our motivation is to study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. So some initial thoughts here as we take a look at this. Number one, it says that God is going to strike the shepherd, right? We know the shepherd is going to be, obviously it's Jesus. And because of the arrest of Jesus, the disciples, the sheep, they're going to be scattered, right? They are going to be without Jesus's presence for the first time in 3 years. And they have grown accustomed to it. They are used to it, being around that power. However, that's what sheep do. If, you know, sheep can't really function. I'm talking about regular sheep that are animals. They can't function properly without a shepherd, and they need a shepherd for a lot of reasons. First of all, they're easily spooked. Second of all, they need to be led into places where they can eat and drink and those types of things. If all of that is handled for them, you know, in a barn, that's one thing. But their natural inclination is to be out and to be led. And so this particular text is from Zechariah 13, and it was a prophetic word spoken there. And Jesus promises a couple of things in this particular text. He says, number one, I'm going to rise again. And he says, I'm going to meet you in Galilee. And he said, Peter, you're going to deny knowing me three times before the morning comes. And you say, well, Greg, what's the big deal with that? Well, I just want you to consider, right? So Jesus says that he's going to rise again. And if he's going to rise again, he's declaring that he's going to die. And I think the disciples couldn't get past the fact that he was going to die. And it was, for Jesus, he, knowing all things, he knew exactly what his death was going to, how it was going to be. He knew exactly all the details. And even that, you know, it's Jesus saying, yeah, you know what, I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again. And then I'll meet you in Galilee. Like it's, you know, no big deal. And the meeting in Galilee was important because that's when he proved the disciples of that he was actually risen. And then he says to Peter, yeah, you're going to deny me three times, no matter what you say. And Peter promises a couple of things as well. He says, even if everyone denies you, I'm never going to deny you. And even if I have to die for the cause, I will never forsake you. And I think that Peter gets a lot of the brunt here, right, of being the guy that made these outrageous statements. And then, you know, but you got to be careful of the last verse in verse 35, because it says the other disciples said the same thing. So they were all under the impression that they would never do this, right? So this morning, I want to talk to you about the first problem that we have here in terms of what all this means. And that's just this idea of being weak, or Peter's weakness. So Peter's denial is really based on, you know, his weakness and the fact that he's just a frail human. After the Last Supper, Jesus took the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that he would be arrested there, and he told them to stay awake and pray, and then he went off to pray alone. You probably remember the story. When he returned to them, he found them sleeping, right? And he warned Peter to stay awake, he said, and pray. But he fell asleep again. And by that time, the soldiers had come to arrest Jesus, and it was too late for him for prayer. Because remember, once he rose from his sleep, Jesus was being arrested, and he got busy cutting off the guard's ear. And, you know, poor Jesus bends over and picks up the ear off the ground and, you know, heals the soldier right there, puts his ear, attaches it. And why the whole thing didn't stop right there and everybody recognized Jesus as being Lord, I have no idea. But their denial and their hard heart was so great that they were able to overlook something that was just a wonderful miracle. So there's Peter, he's asleep, and then he's awakened and it's too late. And there's no doubt that his failure was It was a failure of weakness. He couldn't pray. And here he is, you know, later, he's probably weeping and he's bitter. And it was all what Jesus said. He said, you know, could you not tarry with me an hour? Could you not pray? And Peter learned this great lesson. We know that he learned this great lesson about being watchful, because in 1 Peter, he exhorts the church. He says, be on alert. 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be on alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So in Peter's weakness, it caused him to be devoured momentarily, right? As he denied the Lord because he hadn't been prepared through prayer. And that speaks a lot to us. Peter underestimated his own weakness. And we are never to underestimate our weakness, right? As much as we think we have learned in the Lord and have accomplished in the Lord and been walking with the Lord, we are just one bad decision away from failing him miserably. And most of us do that and do it often, right? So the second one after being weak is this idea of fear. So to Peter's credit, although the, you know, others, disciples had fled, according to Mark 14:50, Peter, he followed Jesus after his arrest. He went through all the different stations of the cross. If you're Catholic, you're familiar with that because they're in some sort of art form in the Catholic Church as to everywhere he went from the time he was arrested until the time he was rose from the dead. And he kept his distance for a reason. He didn't want to be identified with Jesus. Mark 14:54 specifically says that. He did not want to be identified. Now, if you're thinking about why he would do that, right? I mean, I think he thought he was fulfilling some great commission to follow, but not be part of. And boy, that's telling for this day and age and people who go to church and think that by church attendance, you've actually gained something. You haven't gained anything more than Peter did by following from afar. All you're doing is following from afar. And once a week, you cozy up to the gospel, and then it's back to the world, right? There's no question that fear gripped Peter. From the courtyard, he watched some terrible things, right? He watched Jesus be falsely accused. So he easily could have said, man, they falsely accused him. They could falsely accuse me, and I'm connected with him. He saw Jesus get beaten. He saw him be insulted, and he was afraid Jesus would die, and he was fearful of his own life as well. These things had to have happened in Peter in terms of just what he witnessed. And the world hated Jesus, and Peter found that he was not prepared to face the ridicule and persecution that his Lord was suffering. Earlier, Jesus had warned the disciples. He said, today, if the world hates you, keep in mind, it hated me first, in John 15:18, and in Matthew 24:9. It hated me first. He also says, if this is what they're going to do to your king, what do you think they're going to do to you? And Peter quickly found that he wasn't nearly as bold, as courageous as he had promised the Lord. And in fear, he denied the one who had loved him so much. Guys, I think when we deal with fear and when we deal with weakness, I think those words are so bad to people that follow God, because we don't want to be guilty of either one. And yet, I think both of those words are fabulous to a growing Christian, and they're an aim of every Christian. And let me explain why. In our own strength, we are to be weak. And in our strength, it comes from the Lord, right? My strength comes from God's strength. It's not mine. I didn't manufacture it. I didn't create it. It's God's strength. It is used in me and through me, but the origin of the strength that I have is God's. It's not mine. And so therefore, if I'm weak in my flesh, if I'm weak as being a human, that's exactly what God would have of us. God wants the old man to be weakened. God wants the old man to be rendered powerless, right? So that the new man that is empowered by God and strengthened by God, not weak, but strengthened by God, can live. And the second thing of fear is that fear has two meanings, right? I understand that Peter was fearful. I understand that we are fearful sometimes. We're fearful of circumstances. We're fearful of, you know, what the Lord might do in terms of retaliation of our sin. We're fearful of what people are going to say, especially now in this environment. We can't say anything because it's not, you know, we don't follow the company line here. And you know, the company line is you're allowed to say anything you want until we disagree with you. Then you can't say anything. And it's no wonder people don't want to speak up, right? So, but it's not fearing man. The Bible says, fear the Lord, and it's the beginning of wisdom. If we fear God, then we don't fear man. And that's Peter's problem, is he had fear. He just had the wrong type of fear. The fear that he needed to have was the fear of Jesus. Jesus said, don't fear the one who doesn't have any power. Fear the one who has the power to throw you in hell and to take your body and take the life out of you. That's the one that you should fear. And guys, so many times we make the mistake of fearing circumstances. We make the mistake of fearing outcomes and fearing what we believe to be the inevitable. And yet God says, I want you to fear me. If you want wisdom, if you truly want to walk in it, the first step is to fear me. Now, that doesn't mean we have a fear that we cower in front of the Lord, but we understand that he is great in power and that he has a great love for us, and he's committed to teaching us and growing us. And we're fearful that, you know, that's the process that we want to be engaged in because we respect it. It's a respectful fear, not a fear that makes us afraid, right? So some discipleship lessons this morning. Guys, God is always sovereign. You might wonder why Jesus allowed Peter to fail so miserably and deny his Lord three times that night. Jesus revealed to Peter that Satan had asked permission to sift Peter like wheat in Luke chapter 22:31. Jesus, he could have easily protected Peter and not allowed Satan to sift him, but that was part of the higher calling and a higher goal that Jesus had for Peter. If Peter was going to be great in the church, then he had to endure these failures. He had to endure these lessons. So God is always sovereign. He's always working a plan. That's number two. God's always working in us a higher purpose, always. He was equipping Peter to strengthen his brothers. In Luke chapter 22, verse 32, it talks about that. Not only did Peter strengthen the other disciples, but he became this pillar of the church in Jerusalem. And he exhorted and he trained others to follow the Lord Jesus. And we see that in Acts 2. By the way, we're studying Acts on Wednesday nights, and we're going to be right in the middle of Peter's life and what he's doing. That is the flip side. The other side of this coin is to see his ministry once he's empowered with the Holy Spirit. He continues to this day to strengthen us through his epistles of 1st and 2nd Peter. And number three, God is always transforming us. As with all of our failures, God used Peter's many failures, three in a row, three denials, to turn him from Simon into Peter the Rock. And he was the pillar of the church. If you think about weakness and fear and what we do with those things and have a proper understanding of those things and have a proper application of those truths, how radically it can change our life. And I think about the fact that, you know, all of us are on this path where God is transforming us. He's taking us from glory to glory. And I know a lot of us think of going from glory to glory means that we're just going to be in this little bubble, this little perfect bubble. And sometimes God says, no, I'm going to take you from glory to glory, and you're going to be like Paul. I'm going to show you how much you must suffer for my name's sake. All of those are lessons. Paul said, I don't even consider the things that I'm going through now, they don't even compare to the future glory. They're not even to be compared, he said. This idea of knowing Jesus. My encouragement to you this morning, guys, is that we are all capable of Peter's behavior, all of us. And it usually happens when we operate in our own strength. It usually happens when we have fear, not of God, but of other people, other circumstances, and other things. And right when we think that we're so strong in our own strength and in our own fear, we will just fizzle out, and we will make a mess of our relationship with God, and we will fail him. We'll fail him. And I understand when I'm asking you to be weak, that you're saying, well, I was always taught to be strong. You'd be weak in your strength. You'd be weak in who you are, and you'd be strong in Jesus Christ and the strength that he gives you. And the fear, don't take fear from your life. Transform the fear you have of circumstances into a fear of failing God. That's where our fear should be pointed at. If you stumbled upon this message this morning on our website and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you've been in the church for a while and you've heard a lot of sermons and never really given your life, it's a great day to do it. You can do it right now. It's very easy. You have to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord, your Lord, and that he died on a cross for you, and he shed his blood for the remission of your sins. And because of that, he wants to save you, and he wants you to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow him. And you will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You'll be equipped by the Holy Spirit. You will be transformed by the Holy Spirit. All these wonderful things will happen to you as a result of the love that God has for you. I pray that you make that your prayer today. And if you do, find our phone number on the website there and give us a call and let us know about the great decision that you made, and we will rejoice with you. He has shown you and I what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Let's go do that now. God bless you guys.